We just sang, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. At Calvary, the cross of Calvary. I think everybody knows the story. I was not raised in a Christian home at all. I was raised in a Roman Catholic home, but they were not godly people. My people did not know much about God. And one day, my father said to my mother, I love somebody else, you go. 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 My mother said, where will I go? They had had four children together, two boys and two girls. Go. And so my mother said, Art, what are you talking about? I said, go. I'm bringing in another woman tonight to be my wife. And you can leave right now. I'm going to try to hurry up with this real fast. My father was a very brilliant man. He was what you call in a few minutes. It goes in and comes out. Anyway, my father worked for Johns Manville. Some of you men will recognize that name. And he was the master, here it is. He was the master millwright of the whole neighborhood in Lake County, Illinois. And that meant, I said to him, what does that mean, Daddy? He says, that means that if anybody's machine goes kaput, breaks down, they call Johns Manville. Send your master millwright out here to fix our machinery. I'm telling you this to show that he was not an idiot. My father acted like an idiot. But he was not an idiot. He had a brilliant mind. And I said, what does that mean, Dad, that you're a master millwright? And he looked at me like, what's the matter with you? I was about 8 years old, you know, and I should know what that means. Anyway, he says, if any motor at Abbott Laboratories or any machine at United Fence Company or any machine in anybody's company breaks down, they call me, he said. And I go over there and I fix it. I said, how would you know how to fix it? You just know. That was my gentle father. You just know. I'm saying that to tell you the next story. The next story is, after he put my mother out, her best friend who lived next door to our house on Washington Park in Waukegan, Illinois, she had moved to Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is across Lake Michigan over in another state of Michigan. And my mother had written her a letter. She said, dear friend, she said, I am leaving my home. Art has put me out, and he told me never to come back again. And I don't know where I'm going, but I just wanted to let you know that I am homeless, and I always loved you as a neighbor. Period. That woman who lived in the very next house to us, her children were all grown up, and her oldest daughter used to wheel me around in a baby buggy. I didn't know that at the time. But anyway, they loved my mother and they loved my mother's children. And so they started to pray. And they said, what can we do for her? Her name was Marie also. And my brother's name was Art also, after my father. That has an importance for me to tell you that. Anyway, Mrs. Crawford wrote a letter, Full Gospel Tabernacle, Waukegan, Illinois, no address, no nothing. And she said, Pastor, she didn't know who was pastor there or anything, Pastor, go to my neighbor's house. She's brokenhearted and she has no place to go and so forth. The minute that pastor got that letter, and how did he ever get it? I don't know, because Philippa Avenue is one block long in a great big city at that time. But he got that. No address, no number, just Pastor, Full Gospel Tabernacle, Waukegan, Illinois. And she went, kind of came knocking at our door. And I said, well, hello. I said, how nice to see you again. Now, by this time, I was about a dozen years old. And they said, is your mother here? I said, yes, my mother is here. Now, we didn't know this pastor's wife, and we didn't know Evelyn Gillenberg, who was just a young person in the church from Lake Forest, Illinois. But anyway, they said, we had a letter from Mrs. Crawford. I said, oh, she was my neighbor. And they said, yes, she sent us to come to tell you that God loves you. I knew some prayers, Our Fathers and Hail Marys, and I prayed them, but I didn't ever hear the word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I didn't know that verse, like you all know it, and like you've all heard it dozens of times, and you think, so what? You know what I caught on to? God so loved you. And they said, we came to invite you to our church, and so to tell you that God loves you and that God has a plan for your life. Oh, really? Yes, really. God has a plan for your life and God loves you. Oh, long story short, we went to the church, my mother and I, and we got on our knees and we did what they told us to do. They said, just ask Jesus to come into your heart and he will save you. He will forgive your sins and he will make a way for you. Well, that sounded wonderful. So my mother and I went to the next Sunday's meeting and we both were invited to come to the altar. This was prearranged by Mrs. Johnson and Evelyn Gillenberg. And after we went to the altar, somebody came and prayed over us, like they do in full gospel churches, and we got saved. We gave our hearts to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, long story short, when I got to be, how old was I? Probably 18 years old, I felt God calling me to go to Africa to be a missionary. And so my pastor arranged for me to visit some churches, and I did, and I raised my funds to go And I thought, here I am going across the ocean to Africa to tell the Africans about Jesus, and my own father doesn't know Jesus. In fact, my mother used to say to me when I was very young, before I got saved, of course, she says, "Sister, your language is like a drunken sailor. You swear terribly." And it really was. I couldn't say a decent word because my father, who I had admired with my whole heart, I loved my father more than I even loved my mother at the time. That was changed, of course. And I thought, if my father used all these wonderful adjectives, and I won't say any of them here, I promise. But it was horrible. I just couldn't talk English. I could only talk cuss words, as we called them in those days, because my father was the boss at Johns Manville. He was the fellow in charge, and he could do anything. And he would just cuss at his employees and just chop them up with his tongue. Why are you telling us all that stuff? Because the thing that drew us to God, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God will never leave you or forsake you. Why would that be important? If we didn't have God, we wouldn't have anybody in our lives. Fast forward, my big, tough, rough father was driving me to get my passport to go to Africa. And I said in my heart, I can't go and tell other heathen people that have never heard about Jesus until I tell my father. So I said to my father, here he is driving his car. And I said to my father, Dad, have you ever thought of asking Jesus to forgive your sins? Well, he used some fine adjectives, which I won't use, but he said, I'm going to keep the fires burning for those devils that come down in hell. That's what I'm going to do. You can go and preach to those people over there. But he says, I don't want anything to do with it. That's my background, folks. So you know what kind of a lovely lady you've got here standing with you to talk to you tonight. And I said no more to my father. Fast forward. I came home from Africa. I had 42 girls in a girls' school, and I took care of them, and I had a class of what did they call them? Now that's gone, but it'll come back. Anyway, we would call them junior high school boys, and I taught them English and Bible, and I taught the girls homemaking, and I taught the girls baby care and how to take care of a family, which I had never learned the ABCs of myself. Of course, my family was destroyed, of course, as I just told you. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead now. Now I've been 4 years in Africa, and I've had 42 girls in my charge. And I asked God to help me, and I had the privilege just before I left Kenya to go on my bicycle and drive down the escarpment all along the edge of the mountain and the edge of the river. And my interpreter went about 10, 15 miles an hour. And the path was about this wide. And if you missed the path and hit a rock and you went over, you landed in the river. Goodbye. And when I got there, he had made an advance, called all the heathen, untaught people. The bank was just loaded with African people from Kenya. And I said, Father in heaven, please help me to give them the word of God. And I gave it to them. And then I said, through my interpreter, I said, tell them that if they want to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, to take one big step forward, each one. And I thought maybe 3 or 4 or 10, you know, would step forward. I think there were at least 200 or 250 people there. And when we arrived, my interpreter and I arrived on our bicycles. The old men, heathen old men, were all naked. And he says, Miss Dilger, please stop right here. Please stop right here. Don't enter the parkway right now. And he went over there and he told them all, he says, pull your blanket over you. Cover yourself. In Kisi, of course. And cover yourself. The lady is here. The lady is here. Well, I want to tell you that those people had never heard the gospel. So I gave the ABCs: accept, believe Christ as your Savior, and confess Him as your Savior. Now I said, you can't all say something about that, but I said, you can accept Him, you can believe what I've told you about Jesus, that He died on a cross for you. And I said, and if you want to confess Him, you can't all say it at once, but you can take a big step forward. So they moved from there to there. And the bank was just packed. And I said, now put up your hand and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Please clean up my heart, wash my heart, and make me whiter than snow. I wasn't very smart like my smart father, but I was smart enough to know the ABCs of Christianity, and I was smart enough to take it to them. And when I left, well, I have to jump fast now. I have to hush. I promised myself I would. After I did that trip, and then I went back up the mountain and drove round and round the mountain till I got back up to Goy Bay Mission on the top of the mountain safely without falling over the cliff and landing in the river for forever. Then when I got there, I want to make some big jumps because I've got some big years to cover anyway. I came home from Africa not because I was fulfilled and brought all the ungodly, untaught people to God. No. I came home because I developed golf ball size red spots, pink rosy spots all over my body from head to foot. And I thought, what have I picked up in this country? What have I picked up in this country? And so I asked a little nurse who came from, come out from Williamsburg to work with me, and I can't remember her name now because I want to tell you, because you, some of you older people would know her. She came out to work with me. She says, I want to work with Marie Dilger, because she spoke at my church, and she told us that she was going to go and tell Africans about Jesus, and I want to work with her. And so anyway, she came out. And she was an RN, and she was a great help to me. And that's another story I could tell you about the day I left, but I won't. I'll jump back to this story. But the day I left, she had gotten married to a missionary son there, and she was no longer in the clinic, and they brought in a little baby boy about a year and a half old or 2 years old who had crawled into the cooking pot, into the middle of the tent that they lived in, and got his body burned from neck to his feet. Madam, help, was all they could tell me because I didn't speak their language. Madam, help. I said, yes, yes. And I thought, Father in heaven, help me. I'm not a nurse, I'm not anything, but please help me. And people in Canada, I went out under the Assemblies of God, Canadian Assemblies of God, and they had washed old sheets and rolled them into bandages. And I took two or three of those out of my house, and I had a great big jar of Vaseline, and I had some tongue depressors. Those were my instruments, my medical instruments, to take care of this burned baby. Anyway, I spread that as fast as I could on this little kid, and he lay there and looked almost dead. And I started wrapping his legs, and then I wrapped his buttocks, and then I wrapped his little chest, and I wrapped his arms, and I wrapped his throat, and I wrapped him all up in Vaseline in these strips from Canada. Well, I went home. Anyway, forgive me for a minute. Things go like this through my brain, and I have to catch back up where I left off. Okay. I came home. My mother had passed away. The Waukegan Church said, if you want to come home for her funeral, we will bring you home. I said, no, my mother will not be there. I said, thank you, but I'll stay right where I am. My father, of course, had married this other woman years before that, before I went to Africa, and when I got home, just give me a moment. Yes, when I got home, I married Charles Hofflander. That's where I should go next. After I got home from Africa, I married Sister Caroline Gardner's brother, and then I got a phone call when my four sons that I had, and Mr. Charles Hofflander might have been one of your counselors if you're old enough. He was one of the first lifeguards and one of the first counselors with Arthur Waldfogel. And in this camp was started, and they took trees right out of the roof of the house here, out of the porch, out of the roof that had grown up, great big trees. And anyway, in the meantime, between a pastorate that we had together after we were married in Wisconsin, then we had a pastorate in Illinois, and But in between some of those, my husband taught school, and all the kids loved him because he was so funny. He had such a great sense of humor. Anyway, he came home from school one day, and the first thing he did as he came in the back door, I said, "Charles," I said, "I had a call from my stepmother that my father is in the hospital. And I said, I feel so strongly impressed I should go and see him." And he says, "Well, what are you doing here then?" You know, the last words before he died, he just died 2 years ago, and the last words he said to me, he was just what I needed. He said to me, "I'm going away and leave you. I told you this story. I'm going to go away and leave you." And he said, "And I'm never coming back." And I said, "What have I done? What have I done?" And he said, "You don't understand. You don't understand." And so he said, "There are souls out there dying, going to hell." And he says, "I've got to get out there and get to them." I'm going to jump way ahead. My niece and my son Jonathan had made an arrangement in a nursing home for him. And I said, "I can never do that. I promised to stay with him till death parted us. And I'm not going to leave him, and I'm not going to forsake him." And they said, "But you're going to die before he does, because you've got black rings under your eyes from being up day and night with him, watching with him, because he couldn't take care of himself anymore. He'd been in dementia." All right, sorry about this, dear brother. But anyway.
You're telling us about your father in the hospital.
Yes. Here was Charles telling me. He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm making supper for you and the four boys. That's what I'm doing." He says, "If God told you to go to the hospital, go." And you know, it was the most wonderful words he ever said in his life to me. And I'm glad I was always an obedient wife. I always obeyed him. When I got to the hospital, I told some of these boys right here, who heard my story? A couple of you, yes, have heard my story. Anyway, my father was worse off than anybody knew. And he was thrashing on the bed. "All of the past is going before me. All the past is going before me." He was crying. I never saw my father cry before. I saw him fight. I saw him cuss. I saw him do everything else. But he was laying there. "All the past is gone before me. All the past is..." Well, it should have gone before him, because he was not nice to my mother. He was not nice to his employees. He was not nice. He was a tough, rough old German. I put my hand on his. I said, "Dad, would you like me to pray for you? This is the man that said he was going to keep the fires burning in hell for all those old devils that were going to come down there, you know, when I was on my way to go to Africa. This is the same man." I said, "Dad, do you want me to pray for you?" "Yes, yes, yes." And I prayed for him. And I said, "Father, you said in your word, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Father, you said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness." And a few more scriptures. And I said, "Dad, I'm going to pray for you right now." And I said, "If you want to say the words after me, I'll say them slowly, and you can repeat them after me." So then I prayed the sinner's prayers, of course. "Dear Father, dear Father," and so on. Every word I prayed, he prayed it after me. And when we got through, I concluded myself, I said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are not righteous, not one of us. We are not righteous. You can hear him praying it. And when we were through praying, I said, Dad, do you believe that Jesus heard our prayer? Yes. 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 I said, then say thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you for cleansing my heart. Thank you for forgiving all my sins and making me your child. And he followed every word I said and copied it. And then after we got quiet, I said, amen. And he said, amen. I said, do you believe that Jesus heard our prayer? Yes. He had strength to say that. Yes. Otherwise, he was going to go straight to hell. And he knew it. Was that mercy? We sang, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden, and he was a burden, wicked man. On liberty at Calvary. Forgive me, Brother Philip. I wasn't going to carry on like this. It wasn't in the plan. But anyway, victory in Jesus. And, you know, never give up. That's the point I wanted to say. Don't give up on anybody, even if they curse you and tell you, I don't want to hear your story. Like my dad told me, he says, no, I'll just be keeping the fires going for those devils that come down to hell. I don't want to talk about God. But God conquered that big, tough art. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that my husband, Charles, who died 2 years ago, he said, what are you doing here if God told you to go? Wasn't that wonderful? He told me that because I was going to go tomorrow. Oh, here's the end of the story. Not the end, the first end. Here's the first end. Let's see the first end. Somebody help me.
I don't know where you're going.
Okay. After your dad died, or after your dad prayed?
Yes, after my dad prayed, he went to heaven.
Hallelujah.
And Charles had his funeral. And, oh yes. Then there was still my stepmother who put my mother out. My dear, my little mother was gone. But here was my stepmother. And after the funeral, she moved with her daughter out to Connecticut, I'm out near Connecticut now. I'm way away from Illinois. Anyway, guess what? I got a letter one day. No sweet stuff, no sweet talk, but just, Marie, will you write out all those verses you quoted to Art that night? Macy. No love, no nothing. But anyway, guess what I did? I sat down and I wrote every verse that I had quoted to my dad, and I sent it to her. And you know, it wasn't many weeks until she was gone. I've left out some big hunks. If you want to hear about it, you can come and ask me. And please forgive me.
Forgive. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Let's sing together the love of God. Hallelujah. It's number 105 in the white book. 105 in the white book.
Let's stand as we sing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, you are able to reach and to save. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we're reminded again of our loved ones who need to know you.
Yes.
And we're encouraged tonight to keep believing and to keep praying, because you surely will answer.
Yes.
Lord, your arm is not short that it cannot save. And so again, we just look up to you tonight and say, Lord, bring salvation. Lord, bring salvation. Bring from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. Oh, God, you are able to set free. We thank you again for your great mercy and love to us. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.